Amen. We want to express our appreciation to Brother Cliff Proud for doing a great job in directing our singing this evening. We are appreciative of Brother Riley Clemens for leading us in our reading our scripture lesson this evening, and Brother James Waller for a meaningful and well thought out and practical purposeful prayer. And we're grateful for the presence of each of you this evening as we have reassembled at this time to continue and to conclude our worship service on this Lord's Day. I want to, and I think I echo the sentiments of Brother Solomon, express appreciation to all of the brothers that stayed after service, that we might meet with those who participate in worship. I believe we had over 20 brothers, Brother Solomon, and I think that's commendable, and Brother Solomon did a fine job in motivating and encouraging and exhorting us and explaining the importance. Am I not coming through? Fading out. I'm not sure. Let me put it up a little bit higher. I can't quite tell, not sitting where you're sitting. Does it sound better now? Okay. Sounds better? Okay. Sounds better. Okay. All right. I want to try to please as much as I can. But again, we're thankful to the brothers for their taking time out to be there in that meeting this morning. That says something very positive about our brothers in exhibiting a very cooperative spirit. And I just want to say thank you. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the scripture lesson that was read by Brother Clemens from 2 Kings chapter 25, verses 26 through 30. I want to talk to you this evening using as the specific title of our lesson simply Royal Provisions. Royal Provisions. I want us to all constantly be aware of the fact that as Christians, we are royalty. You know, we often think, our technical director has appeared on the scene instructing me to put this on my tie. Is this high enough, sir? Okay, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. I need all the help I can get. But I want us to know that if you are a Christian, you are royalty. They make a lot of fuss over Prince William and over Meghan Markle, Harry, and various others. They have the distinction of being royals of England. But we are more royal as members of God's family and as members of God's kingdom. And you might say, Brother Jones, how is it that we constitute royalty? I didn't realize that I was royalty. But I want to just call to your attention a passage from 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter identifies his auditors as, starting with verse number 9, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Do you realize that every Christian is a priest? I'm still, things are still not working. Okay. I think we have to do something else here. He wants to take this and work on it and doctor it up.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. All righty. We're going to use this mic on the podium here. But 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, Peter affirms, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Amen. He speaks of us as, among other things, a royal priesthood. Every Christian is a priest. And being priests, we have the right to access the throne of God at any time. You can pray on your own behalf. You don't have to have some man interceding for you. Each Christian has the right and the privilege to make his appeal to God as a priest, as a royal priest. So in the midnight hour, you can call upon God. In the most tragic storm, you can call upon God. In the sick room, on your own behalf, you are able to call upon God because you are a member of the royal priesthood and you have open, ready access to God. As we talk about royal provisions, we're talking about provisions made available by the king. Notice the passage again. "All the people, both small and great, and the captains of the armies arose and came to Egypt, for they were afraid of the Chaldees," that is the Babylonians. "And it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 27th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign," notice this now, "did lift up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, out of prison." It might appear or seem that he was about to execute Jehoiachin, but that's not the case. The very opposite is true. Notice verse number 28. "And he spake kindly unto him, and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon. And he changed his prison garments, and he did eat bread continually before him all the days of his life." Mm-hmm. And I'm headed back to my microphone. I just realized that I didn't have the other one on. So he spake kindly to him and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon and changed his prison garments. And he did, this is Jehoiachin, he did eat bread continually before him all the days of his life. And his allowance was a continual allowance given him of the king, a daily rate for every day, all the days of his life. The book of 2 Kings closes with an interesting note that tells how Jehoiachin, a former king of Judah, who had been in prison for 30 long years in Babylon, He'd been in prison for 30 years, but he was freed from prison by the king of Babylon, and then was provided with an allowance from the king for the rest of his days. This magnanimous act of benevolence of the king of Babylon pictures how God takes care of his own. After freeing us from the prison of sin in salvation, God then provides for us all of our needs. God provides them for us. All we have to do is trust him. All we have to do is depend upon him and take him at his word. We note two things about the provisions of Jehoiachin, which picture the provisions of God's people. Notice the two things I want to emphasize. The provisions were dependable, and the provisions were daily. Dependable and daily. First of all, the provisions were dependable. His allowance was a continuous allowance given him of the king all the days of his life. And I want to suggest to you this evening that the provisions were dependable in at least three ways. The first, they were dependable in quality. They were always from the king. They did not come from some soup kitchen on Skid Row. Second, they were dependable in amount. The provisions did not go from sufficiency one day to scraps the next day, but were sufficient all the time. Sin doesn't operate that way. Sin gives you plenty for a short time, then goes to scraps and starvation. Amen. But God is not that way. He's going to provide you more than adequate and sufficient provisions for each and every day of your life. Amen. Third, they were dependable in time. The provisions for Jehoiachin continued, not for just 1 week, not for just 1 month or 1 year, but the provisions continued all the days of his life. With God providing our provisions, we can say as the psalmist, in Psalm 23 and verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. We also want to emphasize the provisions were daily. Given him of the king a daily rate for every day. The provisions were not given for a year in advance. It was a day by day, one day at a time. God saw to it. The king ensured that Jehoiachin received his provisions each and every day. It is reminiscent of the provisions provided by Elijah, by the brook Kidron. He was fed. He had, as Dallas Walker says, he had catering services rendered by the ravens of Providence. Each and every day, the ravens brought him bread, they brought him meat, they brought it in the morning, and they brought it at night, each and every day. And I just think about that when I think about the daily provisions made available to King Jehoiachin. And then I think about the model prayer that Jesus prayed. Christ taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," Matthew 6:11. Coming daily teaches us to look daily to him for our supplies. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of our necessities will be supplied." It teaches us to put our faith in our Savior, not in our surpluses. Thanks, Sister Clemens, love that song, "One Day at a Time." That's the way we have to live. We're just beginning our journey into 2019. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen next week. I don't know what's going to happen in February. I don't know what's going to happen in March. I don't know what's going to happen in April, May, or June, or August, or September, or October, or November, or December. I might not be here then. But I don't worry about what might happen, what might take place, what might occur at some distant day in this year or some distant day in the future. I think it is wise for me to live one day at a time and depend upon God to provide for me and for us one day at a time. And we want to remember that God looks out for us. He knows all about us. He knows what our troubles are. "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto our prayers." And we can rest assured as well, and we quote it all of the time, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and who are the called according to his purpose. So we are not afraid to put the full weight of our confidence upon him. And we can always embrace Proverbs 3:5-6 as a meaningful and appropriate motto for us as children of God. "Trust in the Lord with all of your hearts. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." We don't fret, we don't worry, we are not troubled, we are not anxious, because our faith is planted firmly and rooted deeply in God. One day at a time. We can't lose when we embrace that as a philosophy of life. If you are here this evening and you stand in need of prayer, or you stand in need of restoration, we'd like to encourage you to take advantage of this opportunity to have whatever spiritual needs you have met. If you need to be restored, if you have made an untimely exit from the tested path of truth and right, you can get back on the right track through repentance, confession, and prayer. If you're troubled about something that is happening in your life, if you are disturbed, if you are bothered, the Lord listens and the Lord is ready to answer whatever our needs might be. Let's continue to trust Him this week and every week, one day at a time. Let us stand.
Jesus is tenderly